It is good to see everyone today on this first Sunday in August 2018. The Wayne County Bible Center, we are continuing our study based on the Spiro Sadaites book on the Beatitudes. And the Holy Spirit several weeks ago led me to pick out Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I praise God for that. One day I'm going to see God face to face. I am going to be welcomed into His arms and He's going to hold me. And I think I'm going to cry tears of joy and peace and relief. And when you've been born again, your heart has been purified by your faith and the simultaneous work of the blood of Christ to cleanse you and the Holy Spirit to indwell you. Now that's what we've been studying, but now we want to study the condition of the pure heart on a daily basis. The condition by which I can see God clearly today, and the need I have to see Him clearly today. As Jesus said, Peter, once you've been washed, you've been washed, but you need your feet washed. Every day as you go out, walking daily. And so we're going to look at the need for the daily washing. So, serious spiritual priority here. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness of sin at all. If we say that we have fellowship and communion with Him, and we are walking in habitual sin and darkness, we are lying. And we are not speaking the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and we're having fellowship with Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is what cleanses us from all sin. It's an act of God. You cannot cleanse yourself. Now, I'm going to show you your part. But you can't cleanse yourself. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, now these ifs are huge. If we walk in the light, if we say that we have fellowship, if we say that we have no sin, if we confess our sins, I want you to understand that's conditional. So, Sandra, what about if we don't? Okay. So, every one of us, if we confess our sin, well, how about if we don't? He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So today our message is if we confess our sins. But what if we don't? There are two things you need in the Lord's Prayer. Well, you need everything in the Lord's Prayer, but two things that come back to back. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our daily sins. And I told you about a study done many, many years ago. When you look at the elements of prayer, you've got intercession, you've got petition, you've got praise, you've got thanksgiving, and you've got confession. Confession is the least practiced, the least committed to. Well, Bro Leo, why in the world would I not confess? Because you're telling God. Evidently, you have no sin. Every day I don't confess, I'm telling God, well, Lord, didn't sin today. And I'm deceiving my own self. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin. I name these things to You, Lord, out loud in the prayer closet. Some of them I may be overlooking. I thank you for your mercy and your conviction in those areas. But Father, I pray right now in my confession to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus and to be filled with your Spirit in humility and in service to wash the feet of these people in meekness. And I pray to be anointed by your Spirit with the gift of teaching. As best I can, Lord, as I surrender myself to your Holy Spirit working through me. But I pray, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit will be allowed by every heart listening to be their teacher and to be my teacher, because your Holy Spirit is the perfect teacher of your perfect truths. So, Father, please speak to us today. In your glorious name we pray. Amen. If we get one thing out of this today, I hope we leave here with a newfound priority on the prayer discipline of confessing unto God. Now, let's see what the scripture says. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 10, it says this. In verse 7, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him. In verse 6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I want you to understand the metaphor to walk. Walk means your daily walk, your daily lives. So this is speaking about your daily walk and your daily need to be cleansed. And this is what Jesus taught at the Last Supper. Peter goes, wash my whole body, Lord. Peter said, look, we preached it last week. Peter said, you've already been washed by your faith and your belief in me. But you need to have your feet washed daily as you wear those sandals on the dusty roads of Galilee. And so what we're talking about, a need of daily purity, a need of the cleansing. Now, look at what he says in verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And in verse 6, it says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. So if we want to have fellowship with him, we need to walk in the light. So we want to walk with God. We want to walk in the light with him daily. And that word fellowship is talking about in fellowship and in communion. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God clearly. So you want to be able to see God clearly in your daily life, see how he's working. You want to be able to hear his voice clearly, and you need to be able to receive from him clear, concise direction and guidance. And there are a lot of times people come to me and say, Brother Leo, I just can't get a word from God. And they say, Brother Leo, I've been wrestling with this for 5 years. Well, I have learned, I probably need to ask them, is there unconfessed, undealt with sin in your life? So write that down. Unconfessed sin is undealt with sin. Unconfessed, undealt with sin in your life. You need to get along with the Lord and find out if that's what's keeping God from moving in your life. Because we're about to see a principle here. So, let me give it to you based on verse 5, 6, and 7. All right, this comes from Spiro Sidaites. So, when you read verse 5, 6, and 7, you understand that in God there is no darkness. And then in verse 6, you understand that darkness can have no fellowship with light. And then in verse 7, you are exhorted that if you're going to walk in the light and have fellowship with Jesus, you got to get the darkness cleansed out of you. So here is the principle. This is straight out of Zedites. The holiness of God cannot cohabitate with, fellowship with, or commune with the darkness of man's sin. The holiness of God cannot cohabitate with, cannot fellowship with, and cannot commune with the darkness of man's sin. Now, let me show you the verses. He didn't put these in here. I told Patty when I read that, it immediately, the Holy Spirit drove me to this verse. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So sin and darkness has to be dealt with in my life if my relationship with Jesus is going to be where it needs to be today. Right now. So let's see what the scripture says. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. We use this all the time when we're speaking with folks about getting married, about a believer marrying an unbeliever, and how an unbeliever and a believer don't need to date, don't need to get involved with them. You don't need to say, well, Brother Leo, if I can just date him or marry him, he'll get saved. That God doesn't lead you to save somebody. Because he's saying right here in verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together in a relationship with an unbeliever. So that's clear. But I want to take this to another level today. I am the bride of Christ. So I'm in that kind of a relationship. So notice what it says. For what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? So when there's unrighteousness in my life that's unconfessed and undealt with, what fellowship can the righteousness of God have with me? Notice how serious this is. What communion can the light of God have with the darkness of my sin? You say, Brother Leo, I'm not hearing from God. And what concord or what unity hath Christ with Belial, who is the demon, the chief demon of Satan? And what part has he that believes with the unbelief of an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with false idols? Know you not that you are the temple of the living God? God said, I'm going to dwell in your heart and walk with you. And I'll be your God and you'll be my people. What's that mean? Relationship. He's my God. You're my brother. You're my sister. You're my son. I'll be your God. I'll be your heavenly father. And I'll walk with you through life. But you can't have unrighteousness. You can't have darkness. You can't have Belial. You can't have these things going on in your life. Wherefore, look at what he says. Come out from among them. I'm saying, wherefore, get it out of you. Be ye separate. Separate yourself from the unclean thing. Separate yourself from the impurity, and I will receive you in intimacy and closeness, and I'll be a father unto you in relationship, and you'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. So I want you to understand, I've got to deal with my sin. Unconfessed sin is undealt with sin. Confessed sin is the first step in dealing with sin. There are three steps in dealing with your sin biblically. We're not even going to cover them today. One's confession, second, least godly sorrow, and third, least repentance. We'll get to those other two next week. We may get to godly sorrow for a moment today. But we just got to start confessing. As the Zadatis says, people say to me, Brother Leo, or people say to the Zadatis, he says, they say over and over, I've been confessing the same sin for 10 years. And he said, I always say to him, don't quit confessing. Don't get defeated by it. It's like a battering ram. One day you're going to break through. Don't give up on it. Now, that's what the scripture says. Sin is a barrier to our relationship. And sometimes you just have to say, I do have sin in my life. It's been there for a long time. I used to confess it. I don't anymore. And you just have to stand up and say, evidently, I'm not walking with God. Or I'm certainly not walking in the closeness that I need to be walking in. I had an incredible prejudicial thought this week. So I was watching sports. I can't even watch sports without sin. And Jerry Jones took a stand with the Dallas Cowboys that they were going to have to stand for the national anthem. And why Richard Sherman, who has been traded from the Seahawks to the 49ers, thought he had to open his mouth, but he did. And he said, they asked him about Jones. And Sherman said, well, you got to consider who he is. He's got that old school plantation mentality. And I said, Richard Sherman, who's making $8 million a year, is comparing himself to a slave during the Civil War. Playing in the NFL is like being a slave on a cotton farm in Georgia. And oh man, I start going crazy. And Patty goes, I'm cutting it to the Weather Channel. And then I had to ask God to forgive me. Because the very next morning, we saw school start in one of the counties. And this very well-dressed black man with his wife and his little child and had his backpack on and his lunchbox, they're walking into school. And Patty goes, look at that beautiful family. But for a moment there, and I'm telling you, I grew up in Charleston, South Carolina. I've got teammates I love like brothers that are African Americans. I would call on them today. I went to a school that had 2,000 students. 1,000 of them were white and 1,000 of them were black. My football team was 60% black, 40% white. Love the guys. Love them today. Some of them are police officers. Some of them are county councilmen. But I had to confess to God, there's prejudice in my heart. You know, I grouped a whole group of people based on one guy on the West Coast. And so we got to get serious about our sin. We don't want to justify it because the most important thing I need in my life, I need to be as close to Jesus as I can. So I don't need something breaking my fellowship with Him. And so look at what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, if we confess our sin in 1 John. Now I'm not going to take you back there. But I'm going to tell you this. We studied this last week. The word confession in the Greek means to agree with God. It means to agree with, to acknowledge that God is perfectly right morally. So whatever He says is sin. And so there are times in my prayer closet I've got to say, Lord, I did this. Lord, I thought this. Lord, I said this. And You are right and I am wrong. Lord, this thing being in my life, You are right and I am wrong. And then you got to take it to another level biblically. And you say, what level is that? You got to say, Lord Jesus, I am guilty. Why are you saying that, Brother Leo? Because I found it in the Scriptures. Lord Jesus, I am guilty of, and then fill in the blank. I am guilty. Now, go with me. Let me show you where I found it. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. I was reading the writings of Paul on this subject. And you know, it hit me 2 weeks ago. I was studying this 2 weeks ago. I have never said that to God. I've told Him I'm sorry for my sin. I've told Him He's right and I'm wrong. I've told Him my sin's filthy. But I've never actually said, Lord, I'm guilty of this. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement. Lord, I'm guilty of covetousness. I'm guilty of lying. I'm guilty of having bitterness in my heart. I'm guilty of being prejudiced. I'm guilty of not letting things go. I am guilty is a very strong thing to say, but I think it's something the Lord wants to hear from us because it's the truth. In Romans chapter 3, verse 19, it says, now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So I want you to understand something. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. But I'll tell you the purpose of the law, to give me the knowledge of sin. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not hate. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not put any other gods before me. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbors. So the law lets me know by that knowledge when I am guilty. And I need to have the courage and the boldness and the honesty, Ricky, to say that to my God. Amen. I am guilty. Lord, I'm guilty of this. And that word confession means to speak it out loud. So get alone in your prayer closet, get alone in your bathroom, get alone anywhere you need to be. You don't need a man to hear it, but you need to hear it. Not God. He knows what's in your heart, but when you verbalize it, it makes it more real. I am guilty. Go with me to James chapter 2. This is only two of several scriptures on this. Look up guilt in the Bible. Look up guilty in the Bible. Do a word study on it. Guilty means in the Greek actions that put one under judgment. Actions that put one under judgment. I am guilty of this. I'm guilty of holding this in my heart. I'm guilty of thinking these thoughts. Lord. James chapter 2 verse 10 says this, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of the whole law." See, you want to know why we don't confess? Because we're pretty comfortable with our sin. Me and my sin's been in a relationship for a very long time. We're very close to our sins. We get comfortable with our sin. Not so much everybody else. And then our attitude takes a coldness or a flippancy toward our sin. And then layer after layer after layer after layer of undealt with, unconfessed sin builds up in our life. And it distances us from God. I'm going to give you the word cathartic in a moment. It comes from Aristotle in the Greek. And I've had those experiences probably five or six times in my life of cleansings. And I'll share that with you. But notice what he says. "For he that said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not kill.' Now if you commit no adultery, yet if you kill, you are become a transgressor of the law." So what I want you to understand, it's just not the big ones. You know, it's the little white lies. It's not just the big ones, and this is me speaking, not God, because all sin is sin. So one thing we're going to have to say in the prayer closet when we get this down as a discipline, "Lord, I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of a lack of forbearance, a lack of patience." You know, it's not only the thou shalt not, it's the thou shalls. There's a lot of thou shalls I don't do. There are sins of commission, there are sins of omission. And the more you look at this, the more you realize, man, I really need to be cleansed. Not as far as my salvation, but as far as my daily walk. You know, I'm going to intercede. I'm going to petition. I'm going to say a prayer of thanksgiving and gratitude, a prayer of praise, and a prayer of confession. If you confess your sins, he forgives you. He cleanses you, and you're right back in fellowship. If you don't, you're walking in darkness. He's walking in the light. This has got to take an incredible spiritual priority so that we can go where we need to be. So they are distancing us from the Lord. Now, go with me to 1 John chapter 1 again. Let me show you God's perspective. In 1 John chapter 1, we get a warning. In verse 8 it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." And then in verse 10, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar," God a liar, "and his word is not in us." This is what I call the danger of silence. Which under that heading is the lack of confession or the absence of confession in my daily prayer life. The danger of silence. I have no sin, Lord. There is no need for me to confess to you today. Brother Leo, I've never said that. The word says we say that every time we don't confess. I can go home and ask Patty Or she can ask me and say, Patty, did you have a time of confession alone with the Lord today? And if she were to say to me, no, I haven't, then I would say, well, you realize in God's eyes that's because you're not recognizing your great need to confess and deal with your sin. Fallen human nature does an awesome job of not dealing with things, especially sin. Our great-great-granddaddy Adam, he didn't confess his sin. You know what he did after he sinned? He hid it. Then you know what he did after he hid? He deflected. And then after he deflected, he didn't want to deal with it. And then after he didn't want to deal with it, he covered it up with a bunch of leaves. That is not the biblical way of dealing with your sin. You want an open heart, you want an honest heart, go with me to Psalm 32. Let me show you what happens to you. Now, David in Psalm 32 and in Psalm 51, these are companion psalms, he's only dealing with two sins. Just two. One was adultery with Bathsheba. And the second was the murder of her husband Uriah. Just two.
Oh, you're saying tremendously big ones.
I don't know what you did this morning, but you committed a sin probably before you got here. And I'm going to tell you something. It was just as big in the eyes of God. Now, the consequences may not be. I'm not talking about the consequences of your sin. I'm talking about the reality of its existence and how layer after layer after layer can distance you from your intimacy with God. When you get home today, cut on that guy in Texas. So he can say, y'all are all great and everybody's good. I got a little joke for you. Victoria told me while she's getting her nails done. I like a little humor. All 27,000 of you. So you can get another dose. See, I'm giving you the truth about sin. That's why I'm in an old hardware building. If you're on the internet, we ain't got but five people here. And after today's message on sin, we'll have three. Because they're in their 80s, they don't hear well, they don't know what I preached on. So they'll come back. Psalm 32, verse 1, he is dealing with this sin. Now, I could not find this. This is written in reference books. And it's rabbinical teaching that it was at least a year before David finally confessed and dealt with his sin. That's based on the belief that the child who died was at least a year old. Because the prophet tells him, this child y'all have had is going to die. So based on that, he just didn't deal with it for a year. At least. Psalm 31, 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. So he's saying what a wonderful feeling it is once you confess your sin, deal with your sin, acknowledge your sin. What a wonderful feeling. And because he tells you how it felt when he did in verse 3. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night, his hand was heavy upon me. I was burdened. I was beaten down by unconfessed, undealt with sin. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin. But I want you to notice, he was weighed down. He was miserable. The hand of God was heavy upon him. His strength, his energy were sapped. He was worn out emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And the bottom line is, your sin, unconfessed and undealt with, will wear you out. That's the message there. Notice what he says, I acknowledge my sin. mine iniquity I have not hid any longer. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and the Lord forgave the iniquity of my sin. That's 1 John chapter 1. If you confess, He forgives. If you don't, He won't. In your verses 3 and 4. You're going to carry it. Brother Leal, nobody's ever preached this to me. I apologize. I should have. You're listening to a guy that just learned to say, I am guilty. Through the body. For this, everyone that is godly shall pray. Verse 7, you are my hiding place, Lord. You shall preserve me from trouble. You will compass me with songs of deliverance. After he confessed, there's joy, there's songs. He's close with the Lord. The Lord's now his hiding place again. I can crawl up in your lap, Jesus. And notice what he says. The Lord says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will now guide you. Now he's got the direction of God back in his life. Now he's got the direction of God back in his life. And he finds purpose. Go to Psalm 51. Notice what he says after God teaches him. In Psalm 51:13, the same verse. He says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be confirmed. Now he's got purpose in his life. Now he's like Clyde said, he has learned from his sins and his mistakes, and he's going to try to teach others. But what got him there? Confession. The cleansing. Look at what he says in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God. O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. The cleansing is an act of God. The confessing is an act of man. God's ready to cleanse. Purge. Lighten your load. You know, just lift all this stuff over you. Verse 4. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Confession. You got to realize your sin is against God. Bro Leo, every night I say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. That's not good. Notice the singular tense. Against you and you only have I done this evil in your sight. I want to give you a principle right now. You commit every one of your sins individually. When the Lord was on the cross, every one of those individual sins were laid upon him. And God calls us to confess our sins individually. Against you and you only have I done this evil. Verse 6. Behold, you desire truth in the inward part. And in the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. So my part, I've got to speak the truth to him. I got to lay it all out. His part, he's going to purge me. He's going to clean me. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou will not despise. So two elements here. Number one, verse 6, he desires truth. I need to be honest with God about my sin. In verse 17, a broken and a sorrowful heart. I need to be sorry toward God for my sin. 2 Corinthians, I'm not going to take you there because we're running out of time. Paul wrote the church at Corinth a letter because they were comfortable with a guy in the church who was committing sin with his stepmother, and he wanted him removed. Not removed permanently, but removed for the point of restoration. But you can't just wink at it, and you just can't turn the other way about it. And so he said, I made you sorry in a letter. And he said, godly sorrow leads to repentance. So, two things you need to say to God when you're getting honest about your sin. Number one, Lord Jesus, I am guilty. Number two, Lord Jesus, I am sorry. Now, why should I be sorry? Because, Lord Jesus, what I just did this morning, that's another sin that had to be laid on you at Calvary. That's another sin where you got whipped and spat upon and smoked and slapped in the face. I just committed another sin that was part of your judgment for me. And I am so sorry, Jesus. I am so sorry. Against you and you only have I sinned. The best friend a man or a woman could ever have. The one who has only loved me and taken care of me and shown me grace and mercy above all. And I just sinned again against you. Lord Jesus, I am so sorry. I am guilty, and I am sorry. My final note is, your sin's not such a big deal. What really? Well, if we're not confessing, if we're not consistent in this discipline, if we're saying, Lord, forgive me all my sins. You know another fallacy in that? You'll never find victory over the individual sins if you're not dealing with the individual sins. If you're just going to group them all together, you're not going to deal with it. That's like me walking out here saying, you know, we got a bad team. We can't win. Well, what do you mean, brother? How do you correct a bad team? Now, I can go out here and I can say, hey, we got bad pitching. We got bad hitting. We got bad fielding. We got a second baseman that needs work. We got a center fielder. We got to teach him how to bunt because he's got speed and he can get to first. You know, you attack problems individually. Not us. Not the Christians. God bless everybody and forgive me all my sins. Nobody lives their life that way in any other aspect. You're not going to go home today and cook a meal. You're going to fry the chicken. You're going to bake the macaroni. You going to get the sweet potatoes ready? The rice, the collards, the okra? I'm eating with Jody today. Jody said, I'm not lying in church.
No.
Good job, Jody. Jody's listening. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to have a conversation with Jesus just like I got to have with Jesus, because I have failed miserably in a lot of this. Lord Jesus, please reveal to me the seriousness of certain individual sins in my life. They may be propensities, actions, thoughts, feelings. They may go back my entire life, Lord, that I can remember. But please reveal to me some of these individual, undealt with, unconfessed sins that are not allowing me the closeness I need to have with you to receive the bountiful blessedness you want to bring into my life. And teach me, O Lord, how to sincerely say I am guilty and I am sorry, so that these things can be dealt with and removed. So in the quietness of this moment, would you take a few moments just asking the Lord for one or two individual sinful situations in your life that I'm not saying it's going to be over tomorrow, but you can start confessing, at least begin the process of the daily cleansing by some confession unto God in your heart. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's take a few moments.